Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church for our Matin service on this Sunday, March 29th. Before we begin the service, I want to say briefly, if you're watching from home and you have a copy of the hymnal Lutheran service book at home, I will invite you at various points in the service to turn to, for instance, the psalm or the hymns, so that if you wish to read or sing along, you will be able to do so. We begin. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. If you have a hymnal, please turn with me to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The final reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. If you have your hymnal, please turn with me to page 325. And today we review a portion of the Catechism on Baptism, the first section on baptism near the middle of the left-hand column. What is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Which is that word of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." I invite you to turn with me to hymn 420, "Christ the Life of All the Living." We sing together stanzas 1, 6, and 7.
Christ, the life of all the living, Christ, the death of death, our foe, who thyself for me once giving to thy darkest depths of woe, through thy sufferings, death, and merit, I eternal life inherit. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. Thou hast suffered great affliction, and hast borne it patiently, even death by crucifixion, fully to atone for me. Thou didst choose to be tormented, that my doom should be prevented. Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee. Then for all that wrought my pardon, for thy sorrows deep and sore, for thine anguish in the garden, I will thank thee evermore. Thank thee for thy groaning, sighing, for thy bleeding and thy dying, for that last triumphant cry, and shall praise thee, Lord, on high. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for this fifth Sunday in Lent is recorded in St. John chapter 11. I read again verse 40. These are the words that Jesus spoke to Martha. "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see for yourself the glory of God?" Dear Christians, it didn't seem to Martha that there was anything especially glorious about that day when Jesus finally showed up at Bethany. Lazarus, her brother, had been sick. They had sent for Jesus, but he never came. Lazarus was now dead. His body was in the tomb and had been there for 4 days now. Jesus told those gathered around Lazarus' tomb to roll the stone away from the entrance. Martha protested, "Lord, there will be an odor." Literally, "Lord, he stinks already." Martha's senses were screaming at her that there was no glory of God in any of this. Her eyes filled with tears, her nose filled with the stench of death, her ears filled with the cries and sobs of the mourners. All of it testified that there was no glory of God to be had that day. But that's when Jesus said to Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see for yourself the glory of God? You will see for yourself the glory of God. How? How did that happen? How is it that believing Martha saw the glory of God that day? Did she suddenly see Jesus shining in his glorious face as bright as the sun, like Peter, James, and John saw on the Mount of Transfiguration? No. Was there a bright cloud that overshadowed her and the Father's voice from heaven declaring Jesus to be his beloved Son, like he did at Jesus' baptism? No. So what did Martha see? Well, before she saw anything, she heard something. She had heard Jesus say, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." She heard Jesus cry out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out. She saw it with her own eyes. She saw her brother come out of his tomb. She saw her dead brother alive again. She saw her decaying brother whole again. She saw her sick brother healthy again. And in that raising and in that renewing of Lazarus that Jesus did, she saw for herself the glory of God. You see, the glory of God is seen when God does something that demonstrates his power. God's glory can be seen in every miracle that Jesus did, because every miracle is a demonstration of God's power. The healing of the sick, the calming of the wind and the waves, the feeding of the 5,000, the driving out of demons. But it's more than that. The glory of God is seen when God does powerful things, but powerful things that show his love and mercy for lost and suffering sinners. The glory of God is seen when God does powerful deeds that help and serve and save his fallen creatures. God's glory was seen at the feeding of the 5,000, not just because Jesus turned 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish into a feast for thousands with leftovers to boot. God's glory was also seen because Jesus was not willing to let that crowd go without food, but instead fed and nourished the very bodies that he created and had come to redeem. God's glory was seen in the healing of the sick, not only because Jesus cured leprosy, restored sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and mobility to the lame. God's glory was also seen because Jesus was not satisfied to leave the bodies that he created and had come to save diseased and disabled. And so Martha saw the glory of God, not just because she saw Jesus bringing a dead man back to life again. She saw the glory of God because Jesus, in his love and mercy, had not forsaken her or her brother. He was not willing, nor did he allow his disciple in the end to be overcome by sickness and to remain in the tomb dead and decaying. God glories, and God is glorified in pouring out his love and his mercy on us sinners. God glories, and God is glorified in forgiving our sin. God glories, and God is glorified in giving us life instead of the death and decay that we have earned by our sin. God glories, and God is glorified in turning back forever sickness and suffering, disease and disability. I know you're tired of hearing about the coronavirus, but let's face it, that's what's on everybody's mind. People are dying from it. The ranks of those like Lazarus and Martha are swelling. Every day, the number of people in our world and in our country who have succumbed to COVID-19 and have left behind grieving loved ones grows. And we have to take seriously the possibility that members of our community, our congregation, our families, and even we ourselves might be included in that number one of these days. that impersonal statistic that we see on the news every night might become very personal for us someday. You and I might end up like Lazarus. You and I might be the ones who get sick, who die, who end up decaying in a grave. If not now, then someday. If not because of the coronavirus, then because of something. You and I might end up like Martha. You and I might be the ones who shed tears over a loved one who has died and who now rests in the grave. If not now, then someday. If not because of the coronavirus, then because of something. But that's not all bad. To be like Lazarus or like Martha isn't bad at all. What they experienced is what we will experience one day. And Jesus says to you what he said to Martha back then, if you believe, you will see for yourself the glory of God. If you believe, believe what? Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus who died and rose again for us sinners and for our salvation. Nowhere do we see the glory of God more plainly than we do on the cross of Jesus. There on the cross of Jesus, God's glory found its highest expression as Jesus, out of undeserved love and boundless mercy for Lazarus and Martha, for you and me and for every sinner, allowed himself to be overcome by death. The death that was the wages of our sin. The death that was rightly yours and mine. What power that God could save a world of sinners through one man's cross. What mercy that God the Father would offer up his Son for a bunch of godless rebels like you and me. What love that Jesus was willing to suffer and die for sins he did not commit and for sinners who did not love him. Jesus ended up dead. Jesus ended up in a tomb. But Jesus didn't stay dead, and Jesus didn't stay in the tomb. The one who is the resurrection rose again bodily from the dead. The one who is the life lives again and lives forever as the Savior of sinners, the destroyer of death, and the taskmaster of the tomb. Believing in him who is the resurrection and the life, having been baptized into him, having been clothed with him at the font, you have the promise that one day the glory of God that you see now with the eyes of faith, you will see for yourself with your own eyes. Even as you share in Martha's grief and shed tears like she did, one day your loved ones who are in the grave, who died as friends and disciples of Jesus, will rise again from the dead. One day you'll hear Jesus say to them, "Come out," and they will come out of the grave, and they will stay out of the grave, alive, whole, healthy. You will see for yourself the glory of God as you see his power on full display and experience what his love and mercy have accomplished for your Christian loved ones. Even as you share in Lazarus' death and rest in the grave like he did, one day you, who died as a friend and a disciple of Jesus, will rise again from the dead. One day you'll hear Jesus saying to you, "Come out." And you will come out of the grave and you will stay out of the grave, alive, whole, healthy. You will see for yourself the glory of God as you see his power on full display and as you experience what his love and mercy have accomplished for you and for so many others like you. And so in this time when death is in the news and on our minds and even part of our conversations, we would do well to put the words of Jesus before our eyes, in our minds and in our hearts and on our lips. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Don't be afraid. If you believe, you will see for yourself the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious Father, give wisdom and courage to the leaders of our country and help them to work in harmony in the midst of this pandemic. Bless the members of our armed forces and protect them as they defend us. And bless all emergency and medical workers who continue to risk their own health to come to our aid. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, we pray for your church. Give us pastors and church workers who will serve your people faithfully and boldly in these chaotic times. Through the preaching and teaching of your word, may many more believe in you and confess you to be the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, give us generous hearts, that we may share what you have provided for us with those in need. Give us patience in our seclusion, comfort the lonely and the homebound, grant relief to the unemployed, the underemployed, the homeless, and all their families. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, remember the sick, and hear us especially for Dale, Bill, Dave, Sandy, Gail, Demetra, Rocky, Sharon, Mark, Becca, and Tracy. For all who have contracted the coronavirus, and all who are named on our prayer list and in our hearts. Sustain them in body, mind, and soul, until that day when you bestow on them new bodies fit for eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, Good Shepherd, we pray for David Allen, who was baptized last Sunday. Thank you for taking him into your arms and blessing him with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Keep him as a member of your holy flock now and forevermore. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you for another year of life that you have given to our brother Jerry. We thank you especially for giving him the gift of faith that he might believe in Jesus and receive from him life and resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Blessed Savior, comfort those who grieve, especially Mary Ann
and all who have lost loved ones to the coronavirus. Strengthen and sustain them with your promise that you yourself are the resurrection and the life. For you live and you reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord of the church, be with our congregation and school. Give us patience during this time when we are not able to meet together for weekly worship and daily classes. Give us abundant comfort in knowing that you are with us always, wherever we are and in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. Bring us back together soon, that we may rejoice together in you and your saving grace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Again, I invite you to turn with me in your hymnals, if you have one, to hymn 548, we sing together, "Thanks to Thee, O Christ Victorious."
Thanks to Thee, O Christ Victorious. Thanks to Thee, O Lord of life. Death hath now no power o'er us. Thou hast conquered in the strife. Thanks because thou didst arise and hast opened paradise. None can fully sing the glory of the resurrection story. Thou hast died for my transgression. All my sins on thee were laid. Thou hast won for me salvation. On the cross my debt was paid. From the grave I shall arise and shall meet thee in the skies. Death itself is transitory. I shall lift my head in glory. For the joy thine advent gave me, for thy holy precious word, for thy baptism which doth save me, for thy blessed communion board, for thy death a bitter scorn, for thy resurrection mourn. Lord, I thank thee and extol thee, and in heaven I shall behold thee. Amen.
All right.